believe I said last week, we are talking about, last week we talked about problems in Israel. God will do a miracle. This week we got poison in the stew, or maybe it's in the pew. And next week, we're going to be looking at, if we finish this week, provision of a meal. If you'll see a faith that is real. So let's look at this passage of scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38. 2 Kings 4, 38, it says, "And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, 'Put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets.' So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. And they did not know what they were, and they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, 'Man of God, there is death in the pot.' And they could not eat it. So he said, 'Then bring some flour.' And he put it into the pot and said, 'Serve it to the people that they may eat.' And there was nothing harmful in the pot." I'm not going to use this sermon this morning to take a look in and say, oh, if you have something, some poisonous stew in front of you, or maybe you have lettuce that has been tainted with E. coli, if you put a little bit of flour on it, it's going to fix the problem. That's not the point, not the direction that the Lord led me. But I thought about, you know, poison in our hearts, and there's poison in the church, and maybe it's time that we stopped and we talked about some of the things that can really hurt our pews. Maybe hurt here was destroying the prophets at the prophet school in Gilgal. And just took a time to kind of take a look at that. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we're talking about the fact that we have sin all around us. Sin in homes, sin in the church, sin in the world. And Lord, it poisons us like nothing else. Poisons us as a people. And I pray that you might help us to examine our lives, examine what's going on, and take a look and see. Maybe we need one of the antidotes we're going to talk about today. And I pray that you might help us to look at these things and apply them to our hearts, Lord. Let your name be glorified in everything that is done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes I try to always think of an example on Sunday morning to kind of generate some of your thoughts and to gather your attention, kind of an attention grabber. And sometimes I go, man, I don't know what a pastor who's never had animals like horses, where they come up with their examples. And I apologize if you get tired of me talking about my time out mucking with animals, and just let me know and I'll try and find something else. But in the spring, I always trimmed hooves and made the horses look nice and pretty because it was lesson time to come. And so I'd trim their hooves and file their feet and get them all looking nice. And in the summer, I was so busy, but they need their hooves trimmed. So I'd take a horse or two each day and file their feet and do the farrier work and do that kind of stuff as best I could. Usually the kids would go to the rest time, and I'd go to trim horse feet. That's usually what happened. And then in the fall, I filed their feet, and I warmed them for the winter time. And as I was thinking about that this morning, you know, sometimes us as Christians, we need to be de-sinned, right? We need to kind of take a look at the pews, our hearts, and understand that sin is going to destroy. And we need to take, and it would be right about this time of year where I would trim feet and I would worm them. them animals. I would wait till it was about time for the frost to come, and that's the time I'd worm them. And so I get this tube of dewormer, and I'd have to stick it in their mouth and inject it. They didn't like that very much. And I did like two a day. I would file their feet and trim and give them the dewormer. And sometimes by the time I got done, I pick and chose the ones that I wanted to do. Because sometimes by the time I get done with one of them, I'd be like sweating and I'd still have to clean the barn and I'd want to be done with it. And sometimes, even though I was doing these things for their benefit, you know, I'd give them that shot of dewormer and they'd stick their nose right up in the air, curl their tongue. Some of them would bob their head and try to spit it all over. Sometimes I come home with dewormer and corn and meal all in my hands. Some of them, you know, you ever heard that song, The Old Gray Mare? You just walk up to her and stick that dewormer in her mouth, fuck it in there, and she'd lick her lips a couple of times and be like, well, that's not so bad anymore. They weren't like that when they were two, but anyways. And then you'd file their feet. You got your toes stomped on and everything. And I want to say this. And they jerk their feet away. I'm not here to stomp on anyone's toe. And I was thinking about that this morning. I did not go home last week because somebody made me upset and think, oh, I'm going to prepare a sermon just for that person and talk about sin in their heart and poison in their life. And I was thinking about that. I said, I'll use a generic name this morning. But then I was thinking, well, if I use a Bob, there's one of those. If I use a Bill, there's one of those. If I use a Fred, there's one of those. There's like four of those. And our Dave, there's like 10 of those. And I said, there's no generic name I can use this morning. So it's generic person that I'm talking about. No generic name will be used. Okay? I'm not talking to you. I said I was going to talk about that last week. I put this together months ago. And I'm not here to stomp on your toe. But maybe by the end you'll want to be one of those horses and step on mine. That's okay. My toes are already crooked. So I've had them stepped on enough. And you probably can't stomp on them as hard as a 1,000-pound animal. So, all right? So, but anyways, poison in the pew, or maybe in your heart, it really destroys. When I think about sin, and probably the first place, if you were going to talk to someone about sin, when we talk about the ABCs of salvation, and the first one being admit that you are a sinner. And so the first place that I know we played this game last week, right? And Matt and I tried that this morning. Oh, there, it's working. Good. But anyways, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. We know this verse. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in verse 11, it says, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. In verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And probably before I read this, and I think about this sometimes as I'm putting these verses down, I say, everybody here knows this. But it's the truth is that we're all sinners. Every single one of us is a sinner. And it's funny, as I look around the room and say something like that, it's the person that I think, man, that person, if there's one person who I think probably they've got sin under control in their life, you know what they're sitting there doing this morning? They're going, yep, me. So whether you think, you know, that person over there, little old dear Aunt Betty, she's probably got this sin thing. She's going, no, I've still got sin in my heart. And we've all got sin that we're battling with. Things that we're trying to fight through. And sin is a toxic substance. It destroys people, first and foremost, it destroys them eternally, separates them from God. Well, praise the Lord for the finished work of Jesus Christ and what we just celebrated here, right? Today, in the life of a Christian, it could cause problems in a church. It can cause problems at home, in a family. It can cause problems at work. And sin is still that toxic substance. I kind of went from, you know, looking at 2 Kings chapter 4. And I hope that when you go home this afternoon, that your soup, as you eat your soup, that you didn't go out into the forest and pick some strange thing and put it in the soup and you're going to be poisoned from it. And some of you might be worried about that, but. As I think about that, that's probably not what we're worried about this morning. But what's destroying families? What's destroying homes? What's hurting our church, our world? It's sin. And these guys in 2 Kings chapter 4 that went out picking this stuff out of the ground and throwing it into a soup and mixing this soup up as they were putting all this together, they had good intentions. They wanted to make soup for everybody. And I think about us. You know, even us sitting here in the church, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We want to do what's right. We want to serve the Lord. But sometimes we don't get God involved. We don't spend the time praying to God. I'm not saying that they didn't, but in 2 Kings chapter 4, I didn't see any mention of prayer before the meal. And I don't know. I wasn't there. I've only got this snippet. But I don't see any directive that they got God involved before they went and began to prepare this stew. And you might have the best intentions, like these guys going out and preparing this stew for the prophets there. But if God's not involved, if he's not at the center of it, there's going to be a problem. And probably when sin gets into our hearts, we might have good intentions, we might want to be living for the Lord, doing good, doing right, but when we take our eyes off Christ, that's when sin begins to be a problem. And as I picture this soup and the stew and the poison in it, I think about us testing all things. And sometimes we need to make sure that the things that we are doing, the things that we are filling our mind with, our life with, and we're doing on a daily basis, the words that we are saying, we need to make sure that they're God-honoring. So just like these guys, they tested the soup to find that there was some poison in it. We need to make sure in our life that we are testing all things. I got a couple of verses about that, and I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, it says, "Test all things and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every evil." I think this morning I had a conversation with someone about how it would be neat to look at the righteousness of God and God asking us to be righteous in the Bible. To look all through the Bible and to find some of those things. If you're doing a study on that, you ought to put these verses there. Because here God tells us, he says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. And abstain from every evil. I would encourage us today. These guys, the soup, before they started downing this poisonous soup, They probably better test and make sure that it's good. And the things that we put into our life and the things that, that we allow to come near us and that we expose ourselves to, we ought to biblically test them and take a look at them and see, is that good or not? And we need to hold fast to that which is good and to abstain from every evil. And sometimes in life it comes down to, when we talk about decisions and the things that we need to do, it comes down to the decision, what's good and what's evil. If it's good, we run to it. If it's evil, we get rid of it. Seems easy to explain, but really hard to practically live. And you all know that as well as I do. It's easy to say, do right and run from evil. But if these guys need to test the soup to find out if it was good or bad, we need to take the things that we have in our life and we need to test them and decide, are they good or are they bad? All right? We need to test all things. And when we talk about testing all things, let's turn all is already up there. Job chapter 34. Let's look at Job chapter 34. I always say when you're, Job is a hard book to read. You got to take your time when you read the book of Job. You got to pay attention to who's talking. Is it Job or one of his friends? And in Job chapter 34, as I read this passage of scripture, I see it's not Job talking, it's Elihu talking. And maybe he should, as I think about him and his relationship with Job, maybe he should have paid close attention to his words. But in Job chapter 34 and verses 2 and 3, he gives some good advice. And I think that as we look at Job and the life that he lived, these would have been good advice for everybody in Job's situation to have paid attention to. It says, Elihu says, hear my words, you wise men. Give ear to me, you who have knowledge. For the ear tests words, and the palate tastes foods. And so I think as I read this passage and I wrote this down, I said, we need to make sure as we hear things and as we do things in our life, that we make sure that we are putting them to the test to see if they are right and wrong. So this week, as we think about the actions in our life, as we think about the things that we are going to say, we need to give a little taste test to the words and think about the words we say before they come out of our mouth. Or we need to spend some time thinking about the actions that we do before we begin to do them. And we need to ask, is this right or wrong? And if it's good, we take it like some good food, some fruits and vegetables and some protein, and we eat it up. If it's bad, we need to treat it like poison and avoid it. And we need to test the things that God has put before us. So I'd like to, as we begin, and I'm looking at the time, I'm going, I'm not going to get to my antidotes, so we're going to have to wait to the antidotes for next week. But let's take a look at some poison, right? Let's turn over our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. As I look at that list, that's quite a big list, isn't it? But I dare say that every single one of us sitting here this morning cannot get through that list without saying guilty. You know, and I mean like this week, guilty. That's why we need to thank the Lord for communion and the finished work of Jesus Christ. Like that's very, very, very important. That's the ultimate eternal antidote. But at the same time, we need to practically be doing business with these things in our life today. And we need to, like 1 Thessalonians said, hold fast to the good and abstain from evil. We need to test our lives. We need to examine our hearts. Pretend your heart is a bowl of soup this morning. And if you were to consume that bowl of soup, would it have some of these poisons in it? And if you look and you say, it's interesting because we see that the word murderer is in there. We all go, okay, I'm good on that one. But what about the rest? Right? Hatred. Adultery. Uncleanness. Jealousy. Outbursts of wrath. Drunkenness. Envy. Do you want to destroy your life? Destroy your home? Destroy the church? These are poisons that are going to ruin it. And you need Jesus Christ. And I want to end with this next point I got here. Elisha, when he knew that there was soup, that there was poison in the soup, he leapt into action. He didn't sit there and say, okay, let's figure out what's going on. No, he leapt into action. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he said, let's do something about it. Let's get the flour. Now, I put there right there, there is no scientific basis for why he grabbed the flour, right? There's nothing magical about this flour. It was the Holy Spirit's work on the soup. And so today, if maybe I'm sitting here and I kind of stepped on a toe because you've heard one of these things and you said, that poison's in my life and I need to do something about it, do business with the Holy Spirit today and leap into action and take care of it. Pray to God, get right with God, and do business with Him. If there's poison destroying your life, then jump into action today. You know, after church, I'm going to walk over to that door. I try every week to jump between doors. I'm going to walk over to that door. I'm going to shake some people's hands. But if you need to leap into action, if you need to do business with the Holy Spirit, and you need to take, just say, hey, can I talk to you? And I'll pray with you. Or maybe grab a deacon. Or somebody that you care about. Maybe ladies. Maybe grab one of the ladies and say, I need to do business with God. I need to jump into action. I need to take care of things today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we read this list of poisons today. These things that are able to destroy a church, destroy a home. And Lord, I just pray that if one of these things is something that's in our heart and we need to do action with the Holy Spirit, we need to pray. We need to get things taken care of because this poison is destroying our home, our marriage, destroying a church, destroying a relationship, destroying someone's heart. And today they need to take care of that. They need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and find forgiveness, find healing. I pray that you'll help them to jump into action this morning and take care of things. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing the closing song. Number 654, Change My Heart, O God. 654, Change My Heart, O God. Let's stand together this morning. This morning, help us to deal with sin and to find you being a forgiving God, and help us to test all things, live righteously before you. Help us to abstain from evil and to cling to that which is good. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.